You're listening to an Anna's Books podcast.
Welcome to Parenting and Bonding with Children's Books. Each Tuesday in our Facebook community, we go live to chat with a children's book author about the magic of books. Each book and author was chosen with you and your children in mind. So please, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's Author Spotlight. Hey everybody, we are live. I'm sitting here with Victoria Maldonado. You all have seen her before. She was here for a read aloud. She was our first. I just realized that today, Victoria. You were our first read aloud in the group.
I was the first. That's awesome.
Yeah, you've been in the group in a while, so I think you know now. I come up with these random ideas, and we kind of just go with it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. It's fun and interactive.
So it was just like one day. I was just like, we should do. I think what happened was we were doing a podcast, and I realized we only have so many episodes, and I cannot accept all of these authors. What am I going to do? Because just because they may not be on the podcast, it doesn't mean I don't think their book is great, right? And so I'm like, how else can we give authors a platform? Let's do read alouds. And so, and you were the first one.
It's an honor to be the first. So,
yes. Victoria is in Chicago and I'm in Dallas, and we're both dealing with some crazy kind of weather right now. So if for some reason we get disconnected or something happens, we'll reschedule for another time. But we're here right now and we're going to make it do what it do. So let me just introduce Victoria for anybody who might be new to the group or for anybody who might watch it on YouTube or listen to it on the podcast later. So Victoria Maldonado is the you guys don't know that Victoria has fiction books as well. Like, she has novels. Yes. So I was just about to read that and I remember. So we want to hear more about that too. If you can just give us a sprinkle of it, because we're parents, but we're also moms and we love to read in general. So if you could tell us a little bit about it at the end. But so she has a trilogy, Hearts Drawn Wild, and she's written several short stories. And we're going to talk about her children's books tonight, Bartleby the Brave, and then her brand new book that's coming out June 1st.
Yes.
Yes, June 1st. And that is Tears for the Butterfly. And that title, I love the title. I can't wait to hear more about it. Okay, so she has been writing all her life, and when she's not authoring, she works as a freelance writer and editor in the western suburbs of Chicago with her husband and children.
That is true.
So, yes. So welcome again. So we heard your book, Bartleby the Brave, but for those who did not hear the read aloud for some reason, can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah. Now, Bartleby the Brave is about a bird named Bartleby, and actually I had this little guy made by a plush artist called, her company is Teeny Cow, and she's really cool. This is Bartleby, and he is just a cute little bird who wants to go watch this bird sporting event that they do, and he ends up being bullied, and then the bully gets in trouble, and he turns around, and he's really nice and kind to the bully, and it's pretty much just a book about kindness. So, yeah.
Kindness, and especially kindness after you have already been, this might be slang, but after you've been tried, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a whole bunch of forgiveness wrapped up in there, when his kindness came through. And I think it's such an important skill for our kids to learn, because how often as adults, especially just, for example, in the workplace, have to go and assist somebody who may have not treated us very kindly from the start.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, and so, you gotta get the kids starting to learn that early, because it's not necessarily our first reaction. For Bartleby, it's his first reaction. He doesn't even think about it. Yeah. He's just a nice guy. It's something that we need to teach kids for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so the message was so strong in the book, you know, upon first reading it. I think I've read your book quite a few times now, and read it with Aiden. My son Aiden, he's a big animal lover. He loves birds. And when you did the read aloud, I think you caught on to that, because he's like, I couldn't see the birds, and he wanted to see them up close so bad. And your illustrator joined us that night. You did the read aloud. How did you find your illustrator?
Yeah, it's really funny. He lives in Round Rock, Texas. So he's down, by you. But I was doing a poetry anthology, not my own poetry. A friend of mine died, but she never published her poetry. I asked her husband after she died if I could have it. And so I put it all together in a really big anthology. And it's that purple one over here. But I put it all together, and I asked for artists on Instagram and Facebook. I just put out a call for artists, and he donated probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 art pieces to illustrate some of the poems in the book. Mm-hmm. And part of what he was doing was drawing some really beautiful birds. And I had this idea for this book in my head, and I'm like, I just reached out to him and I said, hey, have you ever considered doing children's books? Because I really like your birds, and I have this bird idea book. And he's like, oh, I've always wanted to do a children's book. That's amazing. And yeah, and so it took him a couple of months. Over time, we got it done. I wasn't in a rush. And it's gorgeous. And we're planning on doing a sequel to Bartleby. And my daughter actually wants me to write a book about a turtle, and he does really beautiful turtles, and he's in for that one as well. So you'll see more of his work in the future, I'm sure.
That is so cool. So the book that's coming for Bartleby, I know I can't ask too much about it, but will it be like the same theme of kindness, or are we going to switch it up?
It's going to be a different theme, but it's going to continue with some of the characters. The main character is named Hugo, and the title is Hugo the Humble. So it's talking about humility, having humility in the face of, you know, when you get too proud of yourself. So that's kind of the basic tenet of it. And Hugo, if you remember from the book, is the little grandson bird from Bartleby.
Yes.
So it's the grandson. His name is Hugo. And, you know, he's going to be carrying on the next story. So.
That is so cute. So I see like a whole series like coming, like a book and a plush, a book and a plush.
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. Yeah. He wants to do it. And I've got 3 grandkids to work with and other birds. And so it's really funny.
It's
hilarious. I was doing a read aloud for my children's school. The librarian asked me to do it. My kids are in kindergarten. And this one boy bought the book. And he loves cardinals, and he has 2 cardinals that always come to his feeder at home, and he's named them Saint and Louis, the St. Louis Cardinals. Funny. And I had 2 cardinals in the book that didn't have names. And so when I signed the book and delivered it to him, and his mom had put this in the order for him, and I signed the book, and I picked the 2 cardinals, and I named one Louis and I named one Saint, and I wrote it in for him. It was hilarious.
So cute. That's perfect. That's so cool. So how did you come up with the idea for the book?
Yeah. So the idea really came from just being in a car. So, you know, if you're in a car along a highway and birds just swoop past your windshield and you're like, dude, you have the entire sky. What is your problem? Yeah. So there is a scientific reason for why they do that. And it's to escape predator birds or to get an updraft. I mean, there's scientific reasons for it. But I'm like, well, why? Maybe they're just playing a game. Maybe they're just doing this for fun.
Okay.
So that's kind of where it started. And then as I was crafting the story, it just turned into this cute little guy and kindness. Like that just kind of came with the flow as it went. So.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I really loved, you already know I loved your book and reading it. I'm skipping all over the place. My favorite line is at the back, and I gave Aiden my phone to play with that I read your book on. I took a screenshot of the page. Do you have the book with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do? Okay, great.
So let's see. Is it the with the grandpa? This
I think it's like one of the last pages where it brings together the message of the book.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it's gotta be. It's gotta be this spread. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know it's whether you're big or whether you're small.
Yes, that's it. Can you read it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's whether you're big or whether you're small, when you care about others, you're a hero to all. And it's, or whoops, it's this one with the grandpa hugging his grandkids. So
that's lovely. Mm-hmm. I love that because it's such a great message. You know, we talk about using books as tools in our group quite a bit. It's the whole premise of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, kids often need a reminder they're not too small to do something big. They're not too small to make a change in the world, and they're not too small to help others. And so I think that line is just perfect to repeat to our kids, you know, whether you're big or whether you're small, you know, you can be a hero. And I just, I love that line. It just brought the book together so well. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course. Thank I love you. It. Yeah, that line always makes me smile. I love finishing, like, reading the book with that. So,
yeah.
And my kids, when I read it to them, because they still ask me to read it to them all the time, they're like, "Mommy, it's my favorite book." I'm like, "That's a lie, but I love you." And
it probably is their favorite book.
maybe it's one of them. But yeah, but every time, like, when I read it with my daughter, she just sighs at the end. She's like, you're just hilarious.
I love it, but you have to love that response though.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you love it. So if we could just pivot for just a second and talk about Tears of the Butterfly. I want to know about the title.
Okay, so yeah, the title is on a whole couple of different levels. I like to do that with titles. So literally there's again, scientific animal fact that like nobody knows. And I've researched it like crazy. Butterflies drink the tears of other animals to get certain nutrients into their bodies, like, salt and protein and that kind of thing. And, specifically they drink the tears of crocodiles, turtles, and birds. And it's a thing. I had to look it up because I, for my inspiration for this new one, I'm like, okay, what are some other weird animal behaviors? And some of them were just too scary to even remotely consider. I was like, nope. And then I saw this and I was like, wow, that's cool. That's a neat thing. How can I do something with that? And then it kind of turned into the tears as a cathartic message. Because they're in the book, there's some sad tears, there's some happy tears, and the butterflies, you know, drinking the tears of all the animals, because the butterfly is going through and helping all these animals kind of find peace and love and grace with everybody. So it's about empathy, compassion, and just kind of giving back to people and being there for them. But then it also does have a little bit of a sad ending. So there's tears on that level as well. But then it gets happy again. And then there's happy tears. So
okay, I was going to say.
It doesn't end sad, I promise.
It can't. You know, I was just telling the people in the group yesterday, Aiden asked me when I was reading to him. He was like, "Mommy, why do all the books you read me and have a happy ending?" And I was like, And I ended up saying something like, you know, children's books authors want to give kids hope, you know, they want to.
This ends on a very hopeful note, but it is, it has a sadness to it. So I don't want to spoil it. But,
well, it sounds to be like all over, like an emotional roller coaster, just all the themes that are involved, the journey that it sounds like the butterfly is going to be on, all the different personalities it sounds like he's going to come across. I'm so intrigued and I can't wait until it comes out.
I know. June 1st.
Yeah, June 1st, everybody. And let me see. I'm just going to put Victoria's website up here so you guys can follow along as well. And we do have the pleasure of having her in the group. So as soon as it releases, we will certainly let the group know that it's out. But yeah, follow along with Victoria's website. That's really exciting. So you said both of your kids are in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know they inspire you, right, to write these books. Did you think about writing children's books before you had kids?
No, I really didn't. And I didn't even think about it on my own. I'm friends with another author who lives in Romania. And okay. We connected over Facebook. I think she pops into your group occasionally, Irina. Okay. She writes like sci-fi and she writes children's books. Mm-hmm. So, and I've edited some English versions of some of her kids' books. And she's like, oh, you should try to write a children's book. You'd be great at it. Cause she's translating my books into Romanian. It's a weird thing, but it's cool. Yeah. And, she's like, oh, you should do it. And I'm like, I'm a romance writer. Like, what are you talking about? But then I had this idea and then I found Ronald, my artist, and it just all kind of came together. And then I realized, like, I can do this. And now that book has been out, I realize I can do this well. And that's really gratifying. And I've already written a third one, but it doesn't have the same kind of feel of these first two. It's more of a funny one. My son is a very strange child and he loves monsters. And so he inspired me to write a monster-themed Hickory Dickory Dock.
Oh, I like it.
It's totally different art style, totally different artist. And the artist for the butterfly one's different from the first one. I'll tell you about her in a second. But yeah, so he inspired me to write that. And that one's being illustrated by somebody local, over the summer. And I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know. Oh, but yeah, no, but they do inspire me. Absolutely. But it didn't start that way. So now they're like, mommy, you're famous. You have to write this story for me and this story for me and this. And then they've got the neighbor kids asking me for stories too.
Wow. Keeps on coming for you.
There's another set of twins that are the same age as them that live four houses down. And they're like best friends. And they're like, you need to write this story for me. And you need to write this story for me. I'm like, give me time. Give me time.
Just keep taking the notes.
I do. I have a whole sheet of notes from one day. They were like, write this one. Write this one. I'm like, okay.
That is fun. That is so fun. So tell me, I don't know if you can say one process is like easier than the other, but what's the biggest difference in a process between writing like fiction for adults and children's books?
It is a completely different process. And like with children's books, what I've done, I just start writing from beginning to end. I mean, it's a shorter thing. And because I'm doing it in a really rhyming cadence, and I want to keep that going, it's really important that you keep that pace and keep that flow going. And like with the butterfly one, it has a little bit of a cyclical nature because she meets three different animals and it's, structured in a way. Fiction, I never write it from start to finish. I've never done that, and I don't think I ever will. With my books, I start with something like really emotional and really important in the middle of the book somewhere. I don't know why. I start with like the core emotional arc. And then I begin to build in scenes around it. And then I build a little bit from the beginning, fill in some spots, make it tile together and then fill in some spots and get to the end. There's not really it's much more of a, like a spider web process instead of kind of like in a line of ants. I don't know why I'm talking bugs, but who knows?
We've been talking bugs and critters the whole time.
Well, I guess butterfly. There you go. It's a completely different process. I mean, I'm writing a new novel theoretically right now too. And it's the same thing. I've written the middle, I've written the beginning, and now I'm building it all together. So I never do it the same way as children's books. It's just I don't know. It's not even similar.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. I never have heard of anybody writing like the middle first, but I'm sure every single author has such a different way to write. But it's so interesting to hear. So what do you want the biggest takeaway to be from your book, Bartleby the Brave?
From Bartleby, I really, the biggest thing is that it's important to be kind. I mean, just in a kind of an emotional way, but also the language in it. I really love the rhyming cadence. And from what people have said, it's not easy to do. For me, it happens very easily. But yeah, I want kids to enjoy the language. I want kids to see that rhymes don't have to be perfect all the time. And that's, it's something called slant rhymes. And I mean, I don't think I learned about it until college, but yeah, so it's learning that predictive language, learning that kind of, like in Bartleby, when it's a slower scene, the language will be slower intentionally. When it's one of the action scenes, the language will be really fast. Mm-hmm. And it's written with that rhythm in mind. So really, I like that part for the read aloud portion of the books.
Yes.
And then, yeah, just the message of just be kind no matter who that person is. And it's quite biblical, actually. But yeah so my books kind of, you know, go weird to faith in a strange, not intentional way. So it's fun.
Nothing wrong with that. So I was going to say, yeah, the cadence in your book is so good. Parents, books like this are perfect for read alouds, especially the message that you get out of it. If you guys, I know we did like a survey in the group, and I released a survey in other places, and it showed that parents love to read a book thoroughly first before they decide to purchase. So if you guys need that extra boost, you know, I'm not enough. If you need that extra boost, go listen to the read aloud and purchase the book for your home to keep it on your shelf, to use it as a tool, pull it out whenever you need to remind your child that they to be kind and they're not too small to be a hero. Mm-hmm. You will not be disappointed. And I wanted to say the cadence in your book is special, right? Because you see books rhyme. They have a cadence, but your sentences were quite complex. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't like short sentences, like easy rhymes, easy. Like you wrote pretty complex sentences for it to keep the cadence that it did. And I really appreciated that.
Okay.
I'm all about language development and giving like aid in words. So the more like words that he can learn through a story, you know, the better. So
well, thank you for saying that. That's good to hear, because I don't like to dumb it down for kids. They can pick up on those different vocabulary words. And a teacher who'd read the book, she even said that to me. She's like, it's a good balance of familiar and unfamiliar words.
Yes.
And that, you know, because it pushes the kids like, what does that mean? Or what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate your comment. That just underscores that again. And that's really nice to hear. So.
Yeah. And in books like this, and when they're intrigued in a story, and this is a story that your kids are going to want to keep up with to see what comes next. When it's a story that intrigues them, they want to know what that word means because they don't want to miss out on what's happening. And so they'll stop you and say, hey, what's that word mean before you move on? And you want to invite you want to invite them in to ask questions and not have them wait until the end. I know one of the big mistakes that I was making in the beginning when Aiden first started to be able to communicate, because I've been reading to Aiden since he was in the womb, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say it's easy then, but he's not talking. And so you have to have patience when you read aloud, right?
Yeah.
Because you want those questions to come, but it's hard when you're trying to get through a story. I kind of just went off track, but you want to invite those questions in. You want to invite the comments in, and you want them to be engaged in the story, and you want to know that they know what you're talking about. And when you're home as a parent, it's different than a teacher, because a teacher, that reading comprehension is so important and it feels like a test. But at home, when it feels just like a conversation with our kids, it's like they're learning, but they don't know it. They just know that it's time with mommy to read aloud. So
and that's one of the most fun things is that they are learning, but they really don't know. And that's really, really good for them to do. But yeah, those conversations, sometimes I don't have the most patience when we're trying to get to bed and I'm like, stop. Yeah, but you know, most of the time,
I know.
I try to be patient about it because they're good questions. Like I was just reading a book with my daughter the other night, and it was a Japanese kind of sort of version of Beauty and the Beast. It's called Princess Mononoke. And, and she was making those text-to-text connections, which is huge in reading comprehension. She was like, Mommy, this is like Beauty and the Beast. And we hadn't discussed that beforehand because I had no idea. I was like, I've never read this before. And it's a really long story and it doesn't end quite that well. But but you know, it was interesting to do that. And then, we have some favorite books that we always go back to. So it's fun to have these conversations.
It is fun. And, you know, it is hard at bedtime. I talk in the group to parents about getting more reading in time. Like, what am I saying? Reading time during the day. Mm-hmm. And I put an informational post like up on Instagram not too long ago. And it was like how to find time to read and, you know, don't wait until bedtime or don't leave bedtime to be the only time. And somebody commented and they were like, why would you tell people not to read at bedtime? And I'm like, I'm not saying that. I'm not. But if you find a couple minutes during the day to read aloud, we're not as tired. Exactly. As parents, you know, when it comes, and we can be more open to all the questions and all the interruptions and all the things.
They're actually great interruptions, but
they are. But we're parents. We know what it is. Yeah. So let me put the website up here one more time.
Yeah.
And before we go, I want to hear about your fiction for adults.
Yeah.
About your trilogy.
Yeah. So yeah, it's called the Heartstrong Wild Trilogy. It's up here above my head. It is very substantive. I mean, it's in the romance genre technically, and there is that in the books. Absolutely. But it's also, I've started to call it more women's fiction because there's more to it than just, hey, they're kissing, woo, which is fun. But that's not really the point. So basically it follows, why it's called the Heartstrong Wild is it's follows Brianna Wilder, who's gonna go backwards here, the red-haired lady here. But it starts with her. She starts at 17, and her parents die from a car accident, and she's thrown from Chicago to New Mexico, completely different worlds. And she has to navigate not only being an adult, but she's not actually an adult. She's 17. And then she has some romance elements. And one of the romance guys is a cowboy, who's this guy right here. And so there is kind of a love triangle in the first book. It's kind of the most reality light, emotionally heavy of the three. And then the second book follows her back in Chicago. This one right here, running in the mist. So anyway, first one is In Death We Part. Sorry, I forgot even to say the title. And then Running the Mist follows her when she's back in Chicago and dealing with yet more loss. So a lot of what I've realized after I finished the trilogy, my characters go through tremendous loss and hardship, but the point is that they can work their way through it and learn who they're supposed to be. So it's got a really overarching message in that sense. So this one's in Chicago and Wisconsin. And then the third one, backwards, the third one is it takes place in Paris, because I love Paris. I've been there several times and it's gorgeous. But it follows a secondary character, Elise. Elise is mentioned in the first book, becomes a character as a child in the second book. And then this is her story about 10 years later. And she is coming out of trauma. Her parents her mother was died when she was young, and her father went to prison, and she was adopted by Brianna, and that's how she's all connected to the story. This one is really her dealing with her future, and it's she's there in Paris to study photography, but she's also there to discover more about her mom, because her mom was from there. And all she has is a photograph, a signature, and that's it. So that's all she knows. And so
that smile, you're hiding something.
Oh yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, they're really good romance novels, but they're not light. It's not for the faint of heart. They're not a good happy-go-lucky. Hey, everything's great. But I promise you at the end of the trilogy, happy ending, promise. If that's your thing.
So. Okay. I don't want to hold you on here too long, but as an author, how does it feel to complete a trilogy? Like, did you want to complete it?
Yeah, it was insane. That's a funny story too. I really only initially was going to write the first one. And mm-hmm. then once that one was published, and that took me like 15 years to finish. Because I was going through high school. I started it when I was 15 and then I published it when I was 31. So 16 years. But then the second one happened like so quickly after it. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm doing two. And then my dad says, but a trilogy sells better. Okay. What am I supposed to do with that? And then luckily I'd introduce this character named Elise, you know, in the first two. I just happened to have introduced her and I knew her backstory. And so, yeah, it took me 6 or 7 years to finish the third one because I was mm-hmm. going through some wicked life changes. But I'm so glad I did finish it. But yeah, just for years, this frame here had a giant blank hole right here. This was just white for okay. years. And once I finally could fill it with the poster, I was like, oh my God, it's complete. it was really awesome to do it. So
I was looking at your Facebook and I saw you when the second book was going to be released and you're like, gotta write book three.
I know. Cause I kept starting, stopping, starting, stopping. And then finally COVID hits. I've got nothing else to do. I sit down and
So this is perfect timing, actually, that Aiden came down because I wanted him to see Bartleby. Do you remember when Miss Victoria read Bartleby the Brave?
Yes.
The book about the birds. And shoop, she has a stuffy maid.
Yeah. And I just got a child as well. So.
Hello.
This is Mika. She has inspired that new turtle book that I was talking about.
Wonderful. She's going to be writing a book about a turtle.
Yeah.
So tell us where we can find your books.
Yeah. I mean, the best place to go is my website. So victoriajohela.com, which you have up there, that has every link to everywhere you can get it. There's author signed copies. There's links to where it is on all the major retailers. So the website really is the best place to go. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook. I even tried TikTok. She made me. she loves that. So I'm on all those things doing silly things. But The Tears for the Butterfly is on pre-order on Amazon for the ebook right now. And then the hard copy will also be available on June 1st too. So, wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're looking forward to having you back to do your reading of Tears of the Butterfly. And we'll say goodnight. Thanks, everybody.
Night. Bye.